So this chapter is actually my father's favourite chapter. I think it's because it's a chapter about something we did together and not about the past, but something that was a more sort of contemporary experience. And the other thing I'd now like to say about this chapter, which I've never said before, is in an earlier draft, I mentioned a young man who used to be an ABC radio presenter called Jesse Cox. And Jesse Cox's great aunt was a woman called Janet Venn Brown, who you may know of, and if you don't, she's worth knowing about. And her partner was a guy called Wael Zawaita, who was a Palestinian intellectual and writer, and he was the first of the Palestinian intellectuals and artists and writers to be assassinated by Mossad in the 1970s. And Jesse made a beautiful theatrical production about it, which in an earlier iteration of this chapter I'd written into the book. Revenge. Revenge is a very satisfying word I have found in moments of anger, which comforts me, although I have few causes in which to use it. Revenge is a word that lingers on the palate. You try it. Revenge, that springy sound with some grip to it. Revenge, which does not do the work of its meaning half so often as the production of the word does a work of satisfaction, stamping its way around my mouth. I do not often think of the word before 2018, and since 2018, when I think of revenge, I think of a poem with this name by Taha Muhammad Ali, which when I first hear it conveys to me an apotheosis of the Palestinian condition. Revenge is one fantasy among the many fantasies we Palestinians harbour, wielding our title deeds and brandishing our keys. And I long for the house that my pa built and in which, like his business, he gave a share to each of his brothers. I write it in the four names, as Pa says on the tape. All these proofs of our lives in a place we are told has never existed, and that we are told is a place in which we have never existed either. So I go to a play about Taha, and I go with my father and the love of my life, who I wait a long time to meet, and who waits even longer to meet me. And Dad is enlivened by the sight of the Palestinian community who have turned out to see this work at the Art Centre Melbourne's Big World Up Close season. And I have to ask Dad not to point when he recognises faces, the handsome Palestinian and the curly-haired one, friends whose names I'm not sure he knows or remembers. The poem begins, "At times I wish I could meet in a duel the man who killed my father and raised our home, expelling me into a narrow country." This is a poem by a man, and maybe revenge is a masculine fantasy. And if he killed me, I'd rest at last, and if I were ready, I would take my revenge. This first verse nurtures something in my heart and in all the hearts of the audience at Taha who are Palestinian. Yes, we think, yes, we are here, and you will not deny it when we take our revenge. In the first verse of this poem, all our bloody fantasies are recognised, because you cannot negate the existence of hands that seek to annihilate. Until I hear this verse, I do not think I have harboured such violence inside me, but it feels good to hear it, springy words stamping about. And it feels also like another great apprehension of that elusive catharsis. I wonder how this play is received around the world as it is toured and performed. And I remember a footnote I read once about Elia Suleiman's Divine Intervention. A motif in that film is a red balloon printed with a caricature image of Yasser Arafat. And at its first screening in Ramallah, the Palestinians cheer and throw up their arms as the balloon swoops over Kalandia checkpoint and soars high to the gold glittering dome of the Rock in Jerusalem, marking a flight path unthinkable to a Palestinian audience in Ramallah with inferior West Bank permits issued them. But the poem does not finish there. and our poet has cause next to reflect on the victim of his fantasy, the victim who has victimized him. And he says, but if it came to light, when my rival appeared, that he had a mother waiting for him. And here Taha wends his way through all the caveats that depict the value of a life, even a violent one, to the people who love him. Here I return to the measured teaching of what it means to be a Palestinian, and to a day around a month before I submit my doctoral thesis, my supervisor and I sitting outside at a cafe on a windy day, and he is hearing impaired and cannot hear me over the wind, and I am clutching hundreds of pages of an unbound manuscript, trying to take notes and restrain these loose papers, and he says, you know, the hatred of the colonized is neither equal nor opposite to the hate of the colonizer. And although I do not know of a study on this, I know he is right. And I think also to the other great lesson he imparts to me some years earlier, when we are sitting outside again and we are combing through a draft of a chapter, and he says, don't be an angry Palestinian, be a clever one. And Taha finishes his verse, then I would not kill him, even if I could. Revenge is a fantasy with mercurial properties, and as Taha describes it, a word which is satisfying to repeat again, and I entreat you to do it, he also cuts into it, like the genealogical dating that is done on all the layers of silt on the side of a cliff. And as I listen, I return to fantasies enshrined by Anne-Marie Jasser in The Salt of the Sea, a film that encapsulates all the fantasies of the diaspora, of people like me. In that film, we watch the protagonist, Saraya, do all the things that we dream of doing. Here she comes from America with her papers and memories, and first she says she is from there, and she argues with the Palestinian Authority, you don't get to say with a piece of paper whether I am or am not Palestinian. And then she goes to the bank with a ledger of savings, and she says she would like to withdraw this balance. And they take her into a room and they tell her she can't, and she says, well, the bank is still here. In Yaffa, she visits the house that her grandfather built, laying the stones and afterwards the tiles inside it, and the woman who lives there invites her in. But Saraya won't leave, and the Jewish says, what do you want? And Saraya is full of rage and she shouts, what I want is my house. Yes, this is the woman I wish I was when I stand at the border between Jordan and Palestine, and I tell the Israelis that I am Australian, and I tell them that my father is after all born in Amman, and I wish I could say, you know, and I know that I am from here, but I never do say this. In the final verse, Taha reflects on what he would do if the subject of his revenge was in no way connected to the life of another, and it begins, but if he turned out to be on his own, cut off like a branch from a tree. And the play has been building to this great recitation, and then the final phrase, instead I'd be content to ignore him when I passed him by on the street, as I convinced myself that paying him no attention in itself was a kind of revenge. And what Taha does best is to explain us to ourselves, and in this luminous line to convey also for the international audiences our staggering gentleness in the face of a moment in which we might take our revenge and do not, and the staggering humility of the gentle Palestinian who defers this satisfaction whose dream they have tended for a lifetime and walks away. At the end of Taha, the audience sits stunned for a moment before this too breaks, and they collect their coats and personal items, and one audience member is heard to say, quite something to hear the story of a Nakba survivor. And my dad is still seated, but then he stands and turns to me and he says, that's me, I'm a Nakba survivor. But the crowds have drifted away, and my father grew smaller and smaller in the emptying theatre, and now there is no one to hear him but me. Yes, round of applause.